From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Whitebird Clinic and its mobile crisis service, CAHOOTS, are celebrated entities in the Eugene area. CAHOOTS especially has been held up as a model for the rest of the nation as an organization that provides vital services in the field of mental health crises. But like so many other public and private institutions in our community and world, Whitebird is facing an almost existential crisis of its own, funding. Today on the show, you'll hear from Whitebird's interim executive director on the funding challenges facing the organization and what its plans are moving forward. And as a stark reminder that things move so quickly these days, in the second part of the show, we'll bring in our own reporter, Rebecca Hansen-White, to update us on the complete shutdown of CAHOOTS in Eugene that just happened after we taped our interview with Whitebird. We spoke with Whitebird's interim executive director last week, and things looked pretty dire then. Well, just a few days later, things have gotten worse. In the first part of the show, we'll bring you the conversation with Amy Marquardt's executive director and hear about the challenges they face. Then, in the second half of the show, KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White will bring us the latest on shuttering CAHOOTS in Eugene. Amy Marquardt, the interim executive director for Whitebird Clinic, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Yeah. Why don't we just start with this? Why don't you kind of, you know, I think a lot of our listeners certainly know Whitebird, but go ahead and sort of remind our listeners what Whitebird is and what you do in the community.
Sure. Whitebird is a group, an agency in our community that really seeks to help the people in our community with social, emotional, physical well-being. We do that through direct service, through education, and we just really value providing compassionate, humanistic care and that supportive services to folks that live in our community. We believe that healthcare and services are a right, not a privilege. And so that's kind of the philosophy and the value that we base all of our services on.
Okay. And kind of give us a breakdown of staff. You have clinicians as well as administrative folks. Kind of how does that sort of shake out?
Yeah, we definitely have our administrative folks, everything from our fiscal staff to HR. We have our wonderful clinical staff, from clinical supervisors to medics, crisis workers, behavioral health clinicians, peer support staff, medical doctors, dentists, MAs, so many staff.
Talk to us about sort of how Whitebird is funded. Talk about your funding structure.
Sure. We have a lot of different funding sources. We have federal grants, state grants, county grants, city grants. We have private and family foundational funding. We do fee for service, so that's billing for services, and donations.
Okay. And then I think a lot of people are aware, we've covered it here. You're kind of, there are some cuts coming to your funding. So talk about sort of what's happening with regard to funding for Whitebird right now.
Sure. We had funding cuts come to us last year, and we were able to hold on to programs as they were and dip into cash reserves to support those cuts at that time. And right now, as you know, almost every agency, every city, every state is really struggling with funding. Sure. Right now, we have a lot of funding cuts, a lot of federal freezes that really has cut into what is available to community partners and ourselves, right? So if federal government is cutting, I think they cut $117 million worth of health and human services last week, 68 of those were grants that were specific to LGBTQIA plus healthcare. So that really has such a large trickle down effect to the people doing that work in our community.
And the cuts that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. are they kind of a combination of those federal grants as well as state, city money? Is it kind of across mm-hmm. the board of all the different funding streams?
It really is, yes.
Okay. And then sort of tell us what, you know, as you're looking at this, sort of the forensic analysis, what are those cuts going to, you know, how are they going to manifest themselves? What are the impacts going to be to Whitebird?
Well, I think you're seeing those impacts in real time. Cutting client services is the last thing we would ever want to do here because our community is so important to us. But in order to ensure that Whitebird continues as a whole, we did have to make that really hard call to cut some of our services and to look at alternative funding sources. Can we do some fundraising campaigns that are specific to Cahoots Crisis and our NEST program? Are we able to bring in more clients to our billable services programs? Just really take as well-rounded a look as we possibly can, knowing that the future is unstable, that there are probably more cuts coming with Project 2025 to, for example, Medicare, Medicaid. And how does that impact the agency and try and build contingencies around that?
Okay. And kind of has it impacted staffing levels?
Yes. We have definitely had to reduce staff and will be reducing staff in these next couple of weeks. These are folks that I've had the honor and privilege of working with. I may not have known all of them, but, you know, some of these are my friends, you know, people that we've shared tears over with hard, challenging times with clients and our heartbreaks as these are happening. So, yes, we will be seeing layoffs happen. We hope that we'll be able to bring people back in if and assuming we're able to get more funding or resources. But in order to stay afloat, unfortunately, that's one of the things we had to look at.
Okay. Let me quickly reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Amy Markwartz. She's the interim executive director for Whitebird. You know, and you kind of, I know you've been with Whitebird for so long and then named interim executive director, you know, fairly recently, you know, kind of philosophically, yeah. It seems like we're in this sort of almost like perfect storm of, you know, obviously, you know, mental health services is so critical. And in Oregon, you know, it's been a kind of at a crisis level in terms of support for quite some time. And then, of course, we're hitting this moment in time where the federal government seems to be and both, you know, kind of figuratively and literally using a chainsaw to cut programs across the board. What's it like for someone such as yourself to sort of look at this landscape and go, wow, you know, this is a crisis that has been building, and now we're hitting this almost critical mass.
Yeah, I can't describe that heartbreak to you. Gosh, I don't even know where to start, but mental health has always been such a need in our community to have providers and to look at having to cut the services that people just desperately need. It's one of the worst things I think I could have ever walked into in this job.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just to say, yeah. Oh. Keep going.
Yeah, so to have to cut services during this time is horrible. It's heartbreaking. It's feels so unfair. Like, this is the time where we should be able to ramp up and to be more available, not less available, to our community, to be there to support them. And I think this is the time where we really need to draw on each other and our community partners. Like, we get to do this work together. And if we can come into this with an attitude of how can we get through this moment as a team, as an agency, as a partner in our community with other people experiencing the same things, how can we meet the needs of the community together? And that's kind of the approach that I'm taking, is connecting with our community partners. How are you guys doing? What do you need? Is something that you need something we already do, and vice versa?
Yeah. You know, I'm one of those people of an age where when I was a much younger person, I think it'd be fair to say that mental health wasn't seen on par with like physical health. There seemed to be, you know, stigma attached to mental health. And it seems like in my lifetime over the intervening decades, mental health has grown in sort of a public understanding and acceptance of its importance. Do you feel like we're almost in a period right now where we're kind of retrenching from that idea of how important mental health and mental health care is?
Well, I would say that Whitebird and our other agencies are not, but sure. That we are living in a time where it sure feels and looks that way. I think I heard someone say that one of the worst things we ever did was separate the mind or psychology from the body, because they are so intertwined. So you think about, you know, if I'm experiencing depression, then maybe I'm not really eating or I'm not getting out of bed, and the toll that that takes on my body. So they're so interconnected, and it's so important to really treat the whole person, not just one piece of a person. And so if we can get back into that model, even if it's within our own programs, our own agencies, to really focus on the importance of that, perhaps someday the government will be able to come back and be like, okay, next administration, we'll see the value in that.
You talked about this, but I want to kind of pull the string a little bit more. Kind of, you know, okay, you know where you stand. You know with these cuts that you're going to have to deal with. Maybe talk a little bit, as best you can, about your strategic vision going forward to both supplement funding, but also how to sort of put the best services you can with the limitations that you have to live with.
Well, we're committed to building like a really resilient and sustainable funding model to support our critical services, which you could argue is all of Whitebird. And so that strategy would include that diversifying of revenue streams by pursuing new grant opportunities, strengthening partnerships with local and state agencies, and engaging in community donors who really, truly believe in the mission of Whitebird. We really recognize that relying on like a single funding source really isn't viable, but neither is relying solely on donors. I think everybody in our community is facing challenging times financially. We know our grocery bills are probably going to go up in price. To be able to like spare some dollars towards agency healthcare could be quite challenging. And so we really want to be proactive in what we do and really look at what expenses we can cut. And we have been looking at what expenses we can cut before we cut any more client services. And that's about as far as we've got right now.
Sure.
We're working closely, you know, with our board and then with our departments to create that short-term through long-term strategic plan that really aligns with our mission and vision and values.
Sure. First of all, do you already utilize volunteers, and can that be expanded in order to provide more services?
We had a really robust volunteer program once upon a time.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what happened that dwindled, but I know in multiple departments, we do internships where people can become credentialed in the field that they're working in. So let's say a peer support or mental health clinician or substance use clinician. We look at utilizing volunteers right now who are going to help with fundraising and media presence. So we definitely love volunteers. We love being a training ground. One of the things that I've always valued about Whitebird is the ability to train people in our philosophy and knowing that they are going to go out into our community, out into the world, and bring that philosophy with them.
Okay. Let me reintroduce you again to the audience. We're talking with Amy Marquardt, the interim executive director for Whitebird. You know, if you were, I don't know, testifying before the state legislature or the city council or even testifying before Congress about funding, be it local, state, or federal levels for programs such as yours, what would you say to them?
Oh, I think that I would really want to focus on being clear and solution focused to be able to express why what we do is important in our community, that the ripple effect of these cuts, it's not just a financial problem, that it is a public health emergency. When we can't provide services, people in crisis will go without care. Hospitals can become more overwhelmed. Our communities can suffer. People have known about our CAHOOTS model for a long time now. It went nationwide, and it's proven to be an effective supplement or alternative to law enforcement intervention and mental health crises. Being able to invest in frontline healthcare services will prevent costly emergency room visits, improves long-term outcomes, and all we want are the resources to continue the work that we know saves lives, reduces costs, and strengthens our community. It's a smart investment.
Amy, my last question for you is this, you know, utilizing the megaphone that you have right now in terms of our audiences, what can community members do to help? And maybe obviously funding or donations, but what else might you say to somebody listening right now? Here's what you can do, community member, to help our organization.
Absolutely. I think there's so many opportunities here, from whether it's making donations if you prefer to be financially invested, to volunteer time and skills. Like, do you want to join the board because you have skills in being a financial guru? Spread awareness of what's going on in our community. Share stories about the wonderful things that Whitebird has done for you or a family member. Remember that Whitebird's still open. We still see clients hundreds daily. And so if you know somebody who needs support, who wants to go to treatment for addiction or for mental health, or needs to have that wound looked at on their leg, send them our way. We're able to see you. We're able to support you. We're able to wrap services around you. And just remember that we're to help as much as we possibly can people in need. And so, that's a lot of what I have to say there, I think.
Amy Markwartz, she is the interim executive director for Whitebird Clinic. Again, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
CAHOOTS is in crisis and is shutting down services in Eugene. Rebecca Hansen-White joins us with the latest. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Absolutely.
So I know you've been covering what's been happening with Whitebird and CAHOOTS, and I know that we had a story just last week about that they were moving to two shifts a week because of budget cuts. And then I think, you know, you tracked down an announcement yesterday about the fact that they're going to have to do away with all of their services in Eugene. What happened?
Yeah, so Nathan Wilk's story, our reporter Nathan Wilk, it was accurate at the time.
Sure.
They were going down to two shifts a week. So Whitebird had announced that because of some financial challenges that they had, which we're going to go over in a little bit.
Yeah.
But once the city was informed of that and found out, they had some concerns. So I spoke to Eugene Springfield Fire Chief Mike Caven, and he told me that previously the city had contracted with Whitebird to be available 24/7. Mm-hmm. Two shifts a week is a really significant drop in the level of service.
Indeed.
That they had agreed to in their contract with Whitebird to provide CAHOOTS 24/7. So his concern was, and not just the fire chiefs, but you know, the city of Eugene, was what if a police officer or a fire department squad encounters someone on the street and they're experiencing a mental health or some other type of crisis? But unfortunately, it's a random Tuesday and Cahoots isn't available. Mm-hmm. But if that crisis would have happened on, let's say, a Friday, they could have called Cahoots. And so they were very concerned that was going to cause some confusion, some instability, some gaps. And that was really not a workable way to provide mental health support, is to not be sure when it's available. So the city approached White Bird to say that's not what we have contracted for, and that's not what the agreement is. And so we need to end this agreement, and the end was effective yesterday or Monday.
Yeah, yeah. So what'd you find out in terms of the financial challenges? You know, was it Medicaid reimbursement, lack of grants, or just overall cuts in, as we've seen across the board, federal funding cuts?
I would say those are all factors, but we'll break them down. We'll break them down one at a time.
Okay.
So the financial challenges, to start with the local funding, White Bird's executive interim director, Amy Marcourt, told me, she said the amount of money the city paid for Cahoots covered about 40% of the cost of providing those services here in Eugene. So 40%, so that means 60% comes from other sources.
Okay.
So a pretty big portion of the rest of those services is paid for with federal grants, which have become a lot more complicated. Some of that money was frozen, and then it was unfrozen recently because of some delays in reimbursement. Now the Trump administration has put some new requirements to get that money or to get reimbursed for the services that Cahoots and White Bird is providing. And they and a lot of service providers are very concerned that they're not going to get the money that they have contracted for or that has been promised to them, that they have been budgeted for, because, you know, there's the people they worked with don't work there anymore. There's these requirements from the Trump administration about making sure they follow the no DEI directives, and just general confusion and about how and when and if they're going to get the money that they've been promised and budgeted for.
Yeah. You know, we're also talking about people who work for Cahoots, you know, kind of that provide these important crisis support services. What's going to happen with those folks?
Yeah. So about 20 Cahoots workers that I know of, and that is what the executive director, Amy McCourt, told me, so have been laid off.
Mm-hmm.
Some had that was already coming in some part that we knew about a month ago that the layoffs were going to happen, but a lot of them didn't become effective or weren't maybe, you know, for sure until this week. But also, just to sort of talk about Cahoots a little bit more, Springfield still has a contract with White Bird for Cahoots. So it's still, nothing is changing in Springfield. They will still have Cahoots on the street. They will not be affected by this. But yeah, there are people that have been laid off this week with these services ending in Eugene.
Okay. As best you can, I mean, what's next for crisis services and responses in our community, in Eugene?
So in terms of what's next for the city of Eugene, they are going to work with Lane County's mobile crisis response team to provide some of those services that Cahoots did. Budget talks for the next 2 years are happening now, so we might see some longer-term decisions soon. When I talked to the Eugene Springfield Fire Chief Mike Haven, he said that won't completely fill in the gap left by Cahoots. Some of those social service things that Cahoots did in Eugene, housing, transportation, Lane County's mental health team, they cannot provide those right now.
Hmm.
He did say that those in crisis, they can still get help. You know, with Cahoots not necessarily working here, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you're in crisis, you're out of luck.
Hmm.
Call 988 if you need help. Lane County has a mental health line as well. If you have an emergency, you can still call 911 and somebody is going to be on the line that can help you. For White Bird specifically, when I talked to Amy Marcourt about this, She said that Cahoots is, or White Bird is planning a fundraiser soon, specifically for Cahoots, in hopes of restoring those services. They're also looking at other strategies, specifically maybe Medicaid funding. So Medicaid funding is an important part of what White Bird does, because a lot of it is in a clinical setting, but it's pretty tough to, you know, reimburse insurance for street response work. You know, just like pulling someone aside and saying, can I have your insurance card? Here's how to get housing, and also here's some other help. So that's a tough thing they're trying to figure out how to do, is to get Medicaid funding. And Medicaid funding, for other reasons, is, you know, a little uncertain, but they're looking into it as a way to hopefully bill for some of those services that are, I would say, healthcare. Mental health also is healthcare.
Sure.
And what Cahoots does works, and it's preventative and it's effective. So they're looking for some other ways to try to make it more financially sustainable. So fundraising and maybe Medicaid.
Okay. Rebecca, my last question for you is maybe a question, just as a journalist, you've been doing this for quite some time. It must be unusual to talk with people where there's just so much confusion about where funding is going to come from. We've been talking, I've done shows about some of the confusion about federal funding and how it's there one day, gone the next. I'm just wondering, you know, you talk to the fire chief, you talk to other city officials, is there just a lot of, we just don't know what's going to happen from day to day when it comes to funding?
I would say yes. I feel like there is confusion and there is a lot of uncertainty right now. But, you know, there are, like, when I talk to local officials, a lot of them are trying to stay focused on what they can control.
Sure.
And, you know, this particular situation, it doesn't necessarily involve Eugene separately has a budget crisis. And that may come into play when coming up with a long-term solution. But, you know, social services are not necessarily, like, not funding them to the level of need in a particular place is not a new problem that just suddenly started.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, Rebecca Hanson-White, a reporter here at KLCC, following this story about Cahoots and White Bird, thanks so much for coming in and giving us this update.
Absolutely. And thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from State Representative Pam Marsh on legislation aimed at consolidating and hopefully improving the homeless shelter system in our state. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.